Cool fact, a crocodile can't stick out its tongue. Also, you can get health insurance for a month or just under a year in some states. UnitedHealthcare short-term insurance plans, underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage for you. Learn more at uh1.com.
Hey there, it's Michelle Norris. I'm host of a podcast called Your Mama's Kitchen. When I travel, I'm usually looking for a way to find a taste of home when I'm not at home. And one of the things I love to do when I am at home is entertain. And Airbnb allows me to do that. When I was in California recently, I rented a house that had a great kitchen. And when we were sitting around the table, we're all thinking, we're in someone else's house. Someone could be in all of our homes as well. If you have a home, but you're not always at home, you have an Airbnb. Your home might be worth more than you think. Find out how much at airbnb.com/host.
Millions of people have lost weight with personalized plans from Noom, like Evan, who can't stand salads and still lost 50 pounds.
Salads generally for most people are the easy button, right? For me, that wasn't an option. I never really was a salad guy. That's just not who I am. But Noom worked for me.
Get your personalized plan today at Noom.com. Real Noom user compensated to provide their story. In 4 weeks, the typical Noom user can expect to lose 1 to 2 pounds per week. Individual results may vary.
A lot can happen in the next 3 years. Like a chatbot may be your new best friend. But what won't change? Needing health insurance. UnitedHealthcare Tri-Term medical plans are available for these changing times. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they offer budget-friendly, flexible coverage for people who are in between jobs or missed open enrollment. The plans last nearly 3 years in some states, with access to a nationwide network of doctors and hospitals. So for whatever tomorrow brings, UnitedHealthcare Tri-Term medical plans may be for you. Learn more at uh1.com.
Millions of people have lost weight with personalized plans from Noom, like Evan, who can't stand salads and still lost 50 pounds.
Salads, generally for most people, are the easy button, right? For me, that wasn't an option. I never really was a salad guy. That's just not who I am. But Noom worked for me.
Get your personalized plan today at Noom.com. Real Noom user compensated to provide their story. In 4 weeks, the typical Noom user can expect to lose 1 to 2 pounds per week. Individual results may vary.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. At Mint Mobile, we like to do the opposite of what Big Wireless does. They charge you a lot. We charge you a little. So naturally, when they announced they'd be raising their prices due to inflation, we decided to deflate our prices due to not hating you. That's right. We're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month slows. Full terms at mintmobile.com.
The following is a presentation of the Four Center podcast feed.
From the center of the galaxy, this is the Force Center podcast feed. I'm Ken Napsok for another edition of Star Wars Rank. Me and a guest ranking things in Star Wars, and we are in the middle of this very fun series, going back, looking at all the films, and we just kind of stumbled onto a release order, which is probably going to be the way we look at it going forward. So that means today we're up to our favorite lines from episode 2, Attack of the Clones. To rank them with me, of course, is Joseph Scrimshaw. Hello, sir.
I am very happy to be here. This film is just full of lines that I like and lines that I like to talk about. So I'm very excited.
Okay. Yes. Interesting discussion to start this off. So this is a movie that, without a doubt, when you come to, you know, ranking Star Wars films, a question that pops up every now and then, or a conversation just had around the old campfire of Star Wars fandom, this one, without a doubt, often gets ranked lower, right? You and I can both agree to, whether we agree with that in terms of the movie, we agree often in conversation this one is ranked lower by people, yeah?
Oh, yes. That is just a truth. If you Google Star Wars rankings or you look on social media, it is often ranked lower. It is not for me. I don't rank them partially because of things like this. It's like, yeah, no, absolutely. I got some questions and some quandaries about Attack of the Clones. I understand the things that people don't like, but I love this weird movie and I always have.
Yeah. And so I guess I'll put that myself in that category of, I'll rank it lower if you're asking me to, putting a blaster to my head. But there's some things over the years that, you know, even the seismic charges are still one of my favorite sounds. And I've been saying that since 2002. So the love has been there.
it is weird. It is a little wild. But you and I have, and going through these, not just line by lines, but what we do here in Ford Center, digging into themes. There's a lot of play in the movie. All that said, I found this particular episode, I struggled to find lines compared to some of the other movies, which doesn't mean this movie lacks them. There's more lines that I find have kind of that unintentional humor legacy to them, which means I love them. So I want to discuss them. And then, but the lines that are there have big, like, meanings and ramifications for the rest of Star Wars. So this movie, there's so much there for you to dive into, even though on the surface it might not seem like it.
Yeah, no, absolutely. I think for me, I always had some criticisms of it. There are things that I really love about the relationship between Anakin and Padme. Some of the moments where Anakin debatably can come off as creepy
yep.
are not my favorite moments personally. Mm-hmm. I love the moments where the romance is awkward. The moments where he seems a little creepy, not my favorite thing in Star Wars. But putting that aside, it's just so full of Star Wars lore, and it is so embraces the pulp aspect of Star Wars, of just the adventure serial aspect of Star Wars, along with scenes that you know, people really get distracted by a certain debating a certain thing, and maybe don't spend as much time looking at the whole purpose of the scene. There's so much here to love. So there's a ton I love about this movie that I've always loved about this movie. But part of the reason I'm so excited about the lines can is even back in the day when I walked out of the theater and I was kind of jazzed and almost everybody around me was like, no,
yeah.
there were so many lines like, yeah, but that line was cool. Right. And people would be like, yeah, I'm like, but that line was cool. Right. And people would be like, yeah. So it's always been in my heart that some of these lines that I'm going to share of like, these are some of the lines that it could get even people who really dislike the film to agree. Like, yeah, that was pretty cool.
Yeah. Which is, we always say, is where kind of the love of Star Wars begins, where you just go, yeah, that was cool. Yeah, you're right. I do love this crazy space franchise, this space opera. So let's not delay any further. We're going to dive into our favorite lines from Attack of the Clones, working our way 5-1, beginning with Joseph's number 5.
My number 5 is one of those lines that I was like, that's a cool line. I love this line. And I managed to get a couple people to actually agree with me. It is an Obi-Wan Kenobi line. There's a lot of Obi-Wan Kenobi lines I could go for, but I had to go with the truth starting in 2002 that this one spoke to me. And it is Obi-Wan's instruction to Anakin that this weapon is your life. I think it was so fun back in 2002 to see Obi-Wan actually kind of being the mentor, being the teacher to Anakin, seeing both like the banter of their relationship, the charm of it and the dysfunction of it. And this moment for me was so cool because it was Obi-Wan talking to a Skywalker about what a lightsaber is, what it means. So it was like, this is familiar to me in a great way, but it was also new of like, that's a really interesting philosophy to say, you know, not just, hey, you dropped it. Great job.
Yeah.
But this idea that, you know, it's for knowledge, if it's for knowledge and defense, what a great way to think about it. This is your life. This is what keeps you alive so you can protect other people. So take it seriously. I just love this line.
It's your purpose, right? It's absolute purpose. I love this line. I love too, again, talking about kind of this weird, I don't know, duality of Attack of the Clones, the silliness on the surface, the depth beneath it. I remember this line too, because like Obi-Wan's wig really stands out in this scene.
And there's some wonkiness going on with his beard for sure.
Yeah. But I mean, but it's part of why I enjoy it. Cause I always think of this scene of him leaning forward. This weapon is your life. And it looks a little weird, looks a little different, but it stayed with me. And then if a scene stays with you, you can engage with it and find the meaning at some point. I'm always like, I just want it to stay with you, fans, and we'll dig in later. And this is an example of that. And I love what it does to me as a Star Wars fan. And talk about Jedi philosophy. Talk about Obi-Wan sitting in that cave in his house a little bit later on, talking to Luke. And you got this in his rearview mirror. What he thinks about this weapon? It's a great scene.
Really. Yeah. In a great setup for the sheer volume of lightsaber loss that is going to happen.
Yes.
So that's my number 5. This weapon is your life.
Ah, that is great. Well, I am going to beginning of the movie, roughly there, with Mace Windu in the Chancellor's chambers. Padme has just survived an assassination attempt on her life. She's a little upset about it. There's a lot of Jedi splaining going on in the room. A lot of people talking down to her. Not a lot of people not listening to Padme, which is a problem. All through Star Wars. And by the way, I think it's somewhat intentional. I think there's a lot of people to say, like, yeah, you're not paying attention to the one person who maybe could have solved the problems here.
Absolutely intentional, I think.
Yeah. I think Mace Windu's line of "we're keepers of the peace, not soldiers," which is something similar to some of the things we've seen in Phantom Menace. But I love the line. I love that it's Mace. And I love, follow me here, this is like almost this, I don't want to say title sentence of the movie, but he's saying this here: keepers of the peace, we're not soldiers. And then you flash to the end of the movie where they are now soldiers. They're now drawn into this. This is like the point of the movie in a lot of ways, right?
Yes.
And I love it now, and I liked it then, but I think, and often when I discuss these movies, particularly Attack of the Clones, I come from the point of view of someone who personally, huge Star Wars fan, never not been, prequel problems aside, was still there in line opening day, first showing of Attack of the Clones. Nothing was going to keep me from it. I've always been a Star Wars fan. But I suffered from a little bit of what I think I see out there sometimes in the fandom of just kind of just seeing what you see and not going deeper and questioning. And then therefore that leads to criticisms of Attack of the Clones. And you can have some fun with the debate at the end. Are the clones defending, attacking, or is it the rescue of the clones? All it is, it's what Palpatine is doing. It's the plan spiraling out of control and the Jedi being pushed into a place where they aren't necessarily supposed to be and maybe at best don't want to be. And so to see this line at the beginning of the movie, we're keepers of the peace, not soldiers, Jedi splaining aside. And so like I go, man, this is a great line because it's what they believe, but it's what they're about to lose. And therefore the line takes a lot more meaning for me.
Yeah. And it's what I really love about it, the more times I watch it, is how much that story of the Jedi is aligned with the story of Padme, right? There's these layers of this is a story of how Anakin personally fell. This is a story of how the Jedi compromised their ideals and how the Jedi fell. This is a story of how the people, the galaxy, gave up on their democracy. And Attack of the Clones is so straightforward in that, if you're open to it, of the plot hinges on Padme is coming there to stop the Military Creation Act, right?
Yeah.
This is a movie about our heroes trying to make sure a war doesn't start, the Jedi included. And then it's a story of like, well, how do they get sucked in?
Yeah.
You know, they are right. How do they lose their way?
And you know, and I'm in the audience going, fight, 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 fight. Which I make fun of myself. It's, you know, again, cool. We're here to watch some pew pew pew. That and you're guaranteed you're gonna have it, but again. See what George was trying to tell us. Not just trying, was telling us. People like me in 2002 are like, nah, the Jedi's are they're knights, they're fighters, they're heroes, and misunderstanding of it. So I look back with not even embarrassment. I think it's okay to say, hey, this is where I was as a fan, and this is where I am now and over the years, and this is why this line means anything. But well said about, you know, the Padme of it all.
Yeah, yeah, how much it's tied to this. But I love that you picked this line because you're right. Like, Mace is always the, like, no question. Yeah, I meditated on it. I made my decision. That's it, period. You know, yep. This discussion's over. This party and this discussion, both over. So to see that sort of adamant stance from him and then to see the most adamant Jedi fall from it is powerful.
Absolutely. So that's my number five. The list has begun. Our favorite lines from Attack the Clones are up to your number four.
My number four, we're going to one of the other lines where people are like, all right, yeah, no, that was cool. It is the classic Jango Fett line. I'm just a simple man trying to make my way in the universe.
Love it.
That whole conversation is great. That whole scene is great. I think, you know, Ewan McGregor and Tamara Morrison, both great actors and just playing all of the subtext and all of that tension of, you know, they're fighting from the second they meet.
Yes.
But they're pretending it's a polite conversation, right? And just the deflection of that, it's such a cool guy line, but it works so well because it's just such a, like, it's such a deflection of just like, what? I guess you're concerned because I'm the template for an army that you didn't order. And then on top of that, you're pretty sure you saw me on Coruscant killing people. in a complex plot to murder a senator who's trying to stop a war? Nah, none of that. I'm just trying to make a few bucks like anybody.
It's the ultimate Star Wars. I just work here.
It really is. It really is. And it's, I don't know. It's a classic. It's a genre line, right? You know, it's a classic Western tough guy. Like, it's a tough galaxy and everybody just does what they need to get by. So leave me alone, authority. You know, it's so cool.
No, and you know, and there was some, some doubt questioning what we knew Django was going to be in this film, if I, memory serves. We were kind of aware of the connection they're going to be, and then it shows up. And I think Django always kind of worked for me, and that's a lot of credit to Tamara Morrison, the way he plays it, and the energy there. And, some of my favorite sequences in that movie are based around Django, quite frankly, and the action and the fighting with Kenobi. So this works. Cool guy line indeed. I think you're very correct about that. And one of those Star Wars lines that you can take with you all through your life. This is just, you need to use this to deflect anything in a business meeting, relationship problems. This is it. I'm just a simple man trying to make my way in the universe.
So you didn't pay your rent. I'm just a simple man trying to make my way in the universe. Why are you bothering me? Yeah. And I love that a version of it appeared in his son's mouth in The Mandalorian.
Yes. Yes. Yeah. You know, and while you're talking here, I'm thinking, I thought he and McGregor played this scene so well together that in my head, I'm like, would I be opposed to a Boba Fett appearance in Kenobi just to get Tamara Morrison and Ewan McGregor in the same spot again?
Mm.
I don't know. It might not be a problem for me.
Yeah, it might not all be bad.
Yeah.
So the whole scene's great. I could do every line from that scene, but I had to pick that one. So that's my number four.
Yes. There you go. Great. Number four. We're going to my number four. Kind of sticking in the same vein of what I was discussing earlier. Kind of one of the big lessons of the film. But we are going towards the end of the film now with Yoda. Oh, we love ourselves the Yoda. And this is an important line, but also just a fun line. I'm not going to do the Yoda impression for you all to suffer through. But this is Kenobi and Mace looking out the window on Coruscant. They're back from Geonosis. Whew, they survived that one. They rescued who they needed to rescue. They lost some Jedi, but man, they got in a good scrape, and they're all right. They won a battle, and Obi-Wan says as much. Without the clones, we'd not have won, not have achieved victory. And Yoda says, of course, victory? Victory, you say? Master Obi-Wan, not victory. The shroud of the dark side has fallen. Begun the Clone War has. And this is where you're taking that Yoda way of speaking, something we've all grown up with, and that kind of can create some fun lines. But this is just, to me, an ominous, epic line to close this weird, wild, but also dark chapter of the Star Wars story. And again, sitting there watching the movie, this is the point. Yoda's saying a lot of what's going on, and I'm not comprehending it. I'm like, what are you talking about? You just won. Let's go fight. Pew, 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 pew. And to go back and kind of revisit this line over the years, this is just some recent revelation to me here. This is one of the lines that just kind of stuck with me. Because, again, it's fun to say. It's great Yoda speak. But it's on par with Luke saying, I'm not afraid, and Yoda saying, you will be. You will be. When Yoda goes a little low, a little dark, it's a little scary. It's great purpose behind it. So, therefore, love this line. Begun the Clone War has.
Yeah, I so love that you picked this one. Begun the Clone Wars has is just, that's an absolute classic all by itself. But the whole line is, so great to show. Great delivery, right? It's the sadness, right? If the question is, can the good guys, can the heroes stop a war from happening? The answer is no.
No.
And Yoda makes that really clear by even beginning to fight the Shroud of the Dark Side has fallen. Which is great because it's a button on the movie. It is the great contrast to Mace Windu's line over Keepers of the Peace, not soldiers. But it really then invites you to say, like, okay, if Yoda knows this isn't great, then why is he doing it? Right.
Yeah.
And that's where I get into sort of the justice for the Jedi of, the Senate votes for the clone army and they're in Mace and Yoda are like, well, so it's done because they don't want to grab more power. They don't want to go like, okay, government, you made bad decisions. So we, the Jedi, are taking over, right?
Yeah.
It's exactly what Palpatine paints them as doing incorrectly because they don't want to do that. They know that there's a Sith involved, and they feel it's their responsibility to stop that and hold that back. So like they have this just this array of choose your own adventure choices, all of which are terrible, right?
Yes.
And the fact that Yoda knows, you know, we don't have any good options, and this one isn't great, but hopefully we can get through it.
Yeah. Yes. I guess making the best of a bad situation, right? They're trying to lemonade out of lemons as best you can, as best you can in this situation. But again, just this, everything spiraling out of control. And that's why I've been so behind you on this Justice for the Jedi thing of, yes, they made huge mistakes. A lot of what the prequels were about, but it was about how this institution fell from within. And you, when sometimes you are in a position where you got to do what you got to do, and it ain't the best thing. And that's where the Jedi found themselves in. And just means a lot. Love it. And a classic, an underrated Yoda classic.
Yeah. And I think also invites all those questions, and then invites the questions of should that, you know, Yoda said begun the Clone Wars has, and then, you know, that's the end of the scene. But like, what, Obi-Wan and Mace go, yep, yep. Anyway, let's talk armor and ships. Like, should they have said, then let's not do this.
Right.
the clones have been trained. Let's not do this. Like, you know, that's the question.
Yeah. And this line can be best summed up as a visual cue by Bail Organa's fist pounding on the balcony of Doom, or one of our favorite moments in the movie.
Yes. We've been sticking to actual spoken lines, but I was tempted to include that as the best body language line in the film.
Love it. That is my number four. We're up to your number three.
My number three is probably not going to be a surprise to anybody who has been listening to Force Center over the last couple of years. It's a line that really jumped out at me on a rewatch of Attack of the Clones a few years ago. And it is from that font of wisdom, Dexter Jetster, who says to Obi-Wan Kenobi, "I should think that you Jedi would have more respect for the difference between knowledge and wisdom." I just think it's so great. It's, of course, in context, it is the discussion of whether the Jedi analysis droids have knowledge or wisdom. I think this is an idea that I think is just kind of important to me, that it's great to know things. Knowledge is wonderful, but wisdom to me is applying the knowledge to come up with your path forward, with the actual choices that you make. It's great to know facts, but what do the facts mean? And I think it is important that Dexter Jetster puts this idea in. Just it makes sense in the scene, but it's a thematic idea to the film that I feel like unlocks a lot of the film. The Jedi have almost all the facts. Dooku gives them even more. Padme gives them even more. They have all the knowledge, but they are not turning it into wisdom.
Mm-hmm. You just stumbled onto the T-shirt that needs to be made of, you know, the facts, but what do the facts mean to a lot of fans of a lot of things, not just Star Wars fans, and maybe life in general. But yeah, I love that.
Yeah, yeah. So, and it's a great line. Just all the delivery from Dexter Jetster with his odd pauses and things he makes sound menacing. Mm-hmm. It's a great delivery and a really fun scene, which I don't need to talk about because we have a 2-hour podcast talking about that scene.
Yeah, go back. Go ahead.
Good. Go back and check out. I was saying the exact same thing that you were.
We're finishing other thoughts and promotions here, unfortunately. We still record remotely and quite frankly, doing it well, recording remotely for so long and not stepping on each other too much. Look, yes, I was. Go back if you haven't had a chance to check out that episode, The Force Center Scene by Scene. It's still one of my favorite episodes we've done. And I bring it up a lot in conversation to people where, like, friends of mine, where I'm like trying to explain what Force Center is maybe about these days. It's always about fun. It's always about silliness. It's always about celebrating Star Wars. But also, we did a 2-hour episode on the Dexter Diner scene because it's important to what George was trying to say and what these movies are trying to say to us. So I love it. You know the facts, but what do the facts mean? Boom, right there from Dexter.
Yeah, and so sad that that the Jedi can't turn the knowledge into wisdom. Sheev is just too tricksy. So that's my number three, Ken.
All right, great number three. We're going to my number three, which is from our good old buddy, Count Dooku. Mm. You and I, over the years, have just, in a weird way, we love Dooku in the sense of, you know, he represents a lot of things and raises a lot of questions, and it's fun to dive into. It's an interesting character, and I love his line. I love the entire scene. Another Force Center scene by scene we have done, but let's go to Obi-Wan in captivity on Geonosis, and Dooku saying, "You must join me, Obi-Wan, and together we will destroy the Sith." So I love it. Number one, I think you do a super cut of people in Star Wars asking other people to join them. And this one might be my favorite. I mean, I'm even saying that over Vader with Luke, Kylo and Rey. I just love Christopher Lee, Sir Christopher Lee. So great. Just pulling from all of his experience and this gravitas he has, just the way he says it. Is enough to put it on this list for me. But then it's the whole scene and what it means beyond that, you know?
Yeah, absolutely. Just in terms of enjoying a line because it's cool and delivered well. And you're so right with the gravitas of Dooku and also all of the join me's, right? It is the Star Wars poetry. I know people poke fun at that, but I think that that is a power of Star Wars, is that you see these ideas, these moments of hope and these moments of lies and temptation spring up again and again and be reshaped by different people and different characters. And this is such a powerful one, very, very meaningful of Dooku following, I think, the Sith idea of like, she's not using me, I'm using him. Yeah. And someday I'll be able to overthrow him. And maybe if this Obi-Wan is as great as everybody says, maybe he could help me, and if not, well, I've spread some doubt and some fear.
Yeah,
I love your idea of a supercut, like the Star Wars Evite of just all of the join me here, join me there,
join me everywhere. I just love it, and together we destroy the Sith. So dramatic, and yeah, what the scene represents. We've taken that deep dive into it, but we were talking, and if you were listening earlier this week on Clone Wars Report and going into that episode with Dooku and Grievous and the Gungans and Boss Leone, just a lot of this idea of when you're able to sow enough seeds of fear and how it erodes hope. And I think this whole scene, but this line itself represents this truth that Dooku is saying. There's some truth, but he's saying it and he's saying just enough and keeping enough of it back that Obi-Wan doesn't know if he can trust the truth. He doesn't even necessarily believe in the truth. And therefore this line, I do believe there's some truth to this idea that if Obi-Wan said, yeah, sounds good, let's do it, Dooku would be like, man, all right, great. Because I just follow the power, and I just love that we it just makes me question what's going on in the scene in Star Wars with these characters. And now, guess what? I have doubt and fear in my what I love and think of the Jedi or think of the Republic, look at the Star Wars, and that erodes hope. And that's why Dooku is such a powerful enemy.
Yeah, absolutely. Well said. And I love the idea of like Dooku's more manipulative, right? At least Vader's being pretty straightforward with both Padme and Luke of like, join me and we'll get to rule forever. And Dooku's leaving that part out of like, yeah, join me and we'll take care of this bad thing. And then of course I'll rule. I mean, I'm not saying that yet to you, but that's definitely implied.
Yes.
It's not join me for brunch. It's join me for power.
Join me, Obi-Wan, and together we will enjoy the eggs. Yes,
the hash browns will not be greasy.
What if I told you mimosas were being poured right now by a Dark Lord? Great.
Bottomless mimosas.
There you go. So that's my number three, Dooku trying to recruit Obi-Wan with a portion of the truth. Now we're up to your number two favorite line in Star Wars Episode II, Attack of the Clones.
My number two, I'm going to Yoda. There's several Yoda lines I like. Begun the Clone Wars has. This is kind of on the opposite end of the spectrum from that. Here's the Yoda line. Lost a planet, Master Obi-Wan has. How embarrassing. How embarrassing. Love this. I have been in love with this line since 2002. Many other moments for Yoda too, but I feel like in The Phantom Menace, to sort of show... almost so show the Jedi from Anakin's perspective of they're these kind of scary guardians who are saying, we can read your mind, you're cold, you're thinking of your mom. Mm-hmm. You know, Yoda gives him some good and true advice about the path to the dark side through fear. But kind of because of that, in Phantom Menace, we don't see this Yoda who loves life, right? The Yoda who is not just a protector of the light side, but somebody who embraces the light side, who enjoys being around children, who enjoys teaching, who enjoys laughing, who cares about people. He's got the line to Padme of like, seeing her safe brings warm feelings to his heart. Like, there's just a really like, hey, let's remember that, you know, a part of the Yoda that we saw in Empire Strikes Back, a part of this sort of a whimsical, humorous person who delights in the light is there too, right? And that's what this a part of this scene is about for me. Like, he certainly has some moments of gravitas and concern in Attack of the Clones, but he's also got this side of him who's like just is having fun, gently poking, making fun of Obi-Wan in front of the younglings.
Liam, the shades, also another great line. I love. Here's why I really love what you're saying about this scene. I think it's true. I think Yoda, the teacher, Yoda, the counselor, Yoda, the mentor, the Yoda that's kind of giggling at Luke and Last Jedi for a while, and then laughing at some things like that. That was a side to him, and I've always enjoyed this scene. And it's easy to poke, you know, over the years, over the last 20 years, it's been always easy to poke at some of the scenes in Attack of the Clones, but just. Yoda with the younglings is sweet. It's comforting. And that is a lot of what Yoda is to me. I've always talked about his music. His theme represents the sounds of enlightenment, which also translates into comfort and a feeling of home. And anytime his theme pops up, it's usually around that kind of like, oh, we're in a safe spot. We've got some enlightenment. We know the way forward, or we're going to be okay. There's something about Yoda that represents that to me. And so I think you're right to highlight that this whole sequence, even a little you know, jibbing, you know, poking Obi-Wan in the side of it with a stick, so to speak, just making fun of him. It's all kind of the warmth of Yoda and part of what, why he was so valuable and important to this Jedi Order.
Yeah, the warmth of Yoda, the wisdom of Yoda, you know, and just that's what they're fighting for. That's what they're fighting to keep alive is, you know, laughter. Mm-hmm. I know I just made a greeting card point, but I really do mean it.
Ah, it's great. It's great. Lost a planet, Master Obi-Wan has. So once again, using Yoda speak to make some memorable quotes.
Yeah.
That, sir, is a great number two, and we're going to go up to my number two on the way. Some honorable mentions and our number one choices, but right now my number two favorite line in Attack of the Clones is from Padme, and it is, Annie, you'll always be that little boy I met on Tatooine. In 2002, when that line hit all of our ears in the first couple showings, I've never heard a theater collectively go, oh, damn, at once. Because
yeah,
that's how it plays in the moment. It's, you know, you talk about Anakin's got some moments where, quite frankly, he's just a little creepy. Guys, we don't want to be like Anakin. We also got, you know, some truth there, some love in his heart, some attachment for him. And he's, a young man with a crush. And there's all those things. So there's a very real world surface level thing about this line that's always been there and is there. And how he reacts to it. But think about what this line actually means. And I remember when this line kind of, I did the rack focus on the line a few years ago and went like, oh, here's how I take this line. And here's what I think a lot of the purpose. This is Padme. This is Padme when all things are going dark and there's literally flames and lava around her and the end of the story and the end of the journey. And she is dying. Controversies around the choice to the way she dies aside. She's dying. She's gone. She's losing life. In her final moment, she tells Obi-Wan, there's still good in him. Why? Because he's always that little boy she met on Tatooine, that heart and soul of the kid who just wanted to help the galaxy, who had a love for his mother, a love for helping people, and just wanted to do what's right. She believes that's always been there. This is what it means for Padme to say this line to me. So yes, on the surface, oh, damn, Anakin, she doesn't even like you. That's great. We can play around with that all we want, and there's some purpose to that there. But I love what this means for Padme, the character, and her beliefs. It's a powerful line to me, and that's why I have it number two.
I think that's incredibly well said and very insightful, and I think it ties together a lot of her lines. You know, later on, she says, you know, don't grow up too fast. There's a similar line that I think gets an aw damn when she's like, oh, he's not a Jedi yet. He's just a Padawan.
Yeah. Yes.
Yeah, and you can look at it from that perspective of, I think, real-life cultural baggage that Anakin is representing of, yeah. You know, he is forgetting the kindness and the warmth and that sense of generosity and hope and discovery that he had as a kid. And it is being overshadowed by this desire to be like, I want to be old. I want to be in power. I want to be respected, you know, and we're, you know, reacting to that perspective of he wants to be seen as a man.
Yeah.
By this woman he wants to date. And her line comes off as like, you're not a man yet. And, you know, bunch of stuff tied up into that, a bunch of real world stuff. But I love that you are really saying, let's look at the other side of it. Let's look at what Padme is really saying, right? Because I never interpreted it of like she's trying to bust him down, right?
Yeah, no.
She's trying to say that, you know, being youthful and hopeful and generous of spirit, those are all great things. And I know that's who you are at your core. And that's what I see in you. And don't try to rush past that because you want to be seen as powerful, you know?
Yeah. 100%. This is that sweet soul, not even sweet kid. It's that sweet soul with the Jabor snippet and all those things and all it represents, and all the stuff that Shmi put into his heart. I choose to see that is what Padme sees. Yeah, absolutely right.
Yeah, very well said. Very well said. And yeah, a fun and intriguing reaction in the theater.
Absolutely. Can't deny that. All right. That is my number two choice, which means we're going to take a quick break. But on the other side, we've got some honorable mentions. Oh, do we ever. We got some lines in Attack of the Clones that didn't make our list, but we're still going to talk about them. Then we'll get to our number one choices. Stick around here to Star Wars Ranked.
Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile. With the price of just about everything going up during inflation, we thought we'd bring our prices down. So to help us, we brought in a reverse auctioneer, which is apparently a thing.
Mint Mobile Unlimited Premium Wireless. How to get 30, 30, how to get 30, how to get 20, 20, 20, how to get 20, 20, how to get 15, 15, 15, 15, just $15 a month? Sold!
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
One size fits all seems like a good idea for clothes until you try them on. Same goes for healthcare. That's why United Healthcare offers flexible, budget-friendly coverage for medical, vision, dental, and more. Learn more at uh1.com.
Hey, Dave.
Yeah, Randy.
Since we founded Bombas, we've always said our socks, underwear, and T-shirts are super soft. Any new ideas?
Maybe sublimely soft.
Or disgustingly cozy.
Wait, what?
I got it. Bombas. Absurdly comfortable essentials for yourself
and for those facing homelessness.
Because one purchased equals one donated.
Wow, did we just write an ad?
Yes.
Bombas. Big comfort for everyone. Go to bombas.com/ACAST and use code ACAST for 20% off your first purchase.
Quality sleep is essential. That's why the Sleep Number Smart Bed is designed for your ever-evolving sleep needs. Need a bed that's firmer or softer on either side? Helps you sleep at a comfortable temperature? Sleep Number smart beds let you individualize your comfort, so you sleep better together. J.D. Power ranks Sleep Number number one in customer satisfaction with mattresses purchased in-store. And now, save 50% on the Sleep Number limited edition smart bed for a limited time. For J.D. Power 2023 award information, visit jdpower.com/awards. Only at a Sleep Number store or sleepnumber.com.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/achieve today.
This is Paige, the co-host of Giggly Squad, and I want to tell you about a company that I've been loving, Olive & June. Olive & June gives you everything that you need for a salon-quality manicure in one box. And if you break it down, it really comes out to $2 a manicure, which is absolutely insane. It's also so easy to get salon-worthy nails at home with Olive & June. The difference between how your nails used to look when you did them yourself and now with the Manny system is a complete game changer. The best thing about Olive & June, too, is it's a quick dry. It dries in about 1 minute, lasts for 5 days, and full coverage in up to 1 to 2 coats. Visit oliveandjune.com/perfectmanny20 for 20% off your first system. That's oliveandjune.com/perfectmanny20 for 20% off your first system.
FanHome, the brand dedicated to developing unique collections and build-up models from best-loved brands like Star Wars, has recently launched the legendary R2-D2 model. 100% movie-accurate and officially licensed by Disney, the stunning half-size replica of the lovable droid comes with detailed assembly instructions. Receive 4 assembly parts each month in this one-of-a-kind subscription service and discover ideas, products, and stories that will allow you to see the Star Wars universe from different angles.
This awesome model includes speakers and microphones so it can respond to verbal orders and communicate using chirps, whistles, and even lights. With exclusive gifts including a R2-D2 mug and baseball cap also included, this new model assembly from FanHome is perfect for all Star Wars fans. Go to FanHome.com and use the promo code FORCE to get these amazing gifts.
Welcome back to Star Wars Ranked. I'm Ken Napsok here with Joseph Scrimshaw, and we are ranking our favorite lines in Star Wars Episode 2, Attack of the Clones. Joseph, I said up top that I found myself not struggling, but having to dig a little deeper on some of my favorite lines. I don't want that to be misinterpreted as there aren't great lines here, because there's many that I didn't include, including some that just tickle me as a Star Wars fan, but also some ones with some depth. So let's get to our honorable mentions here. What are some of your choices that you couldn't put on your top five but want to talk about now?
Yeah, there's a mix of ones that are just like fun and some that I feel like I have a little bit more depth. One of the favorite ones that I have always enjoyed having a sense of humor about is the first moment of truly seeing Jedi as generals commanding an army comes from Yoda, where he says, "Around the survivors, a perimeter create." And I made a lot of jokes about Attack of Clones. Even though I loved it, I also poked fun at it a bunch. And I just love the version of reality where a clone's like, "What? Your job is to give us clear military instructions, sir." And I, around the who, a what? Do what?
Love this line. And just as earlier, we're talking about how Yoda speak creates some wonderfully powerful and epic moments and lines. This one is almost like, crap, we're stuck in this way of speaking. We can't do anything else but this. And Yoda wouldn't say anything but this. And therefore, it just becomes that much more memorable. Anyone else says this line, create a perimeter around the survivors. Whatever. It's throwaway. But this becomes a quotable quote that you can use around parties anywhere in your life. Around the survivors, a perimeter create.
Yeah, absolutely beautiful. I've yet to successfully just work it into casual conversation, but I'm going to keep trying.
Well, goals at Star Wars Celebration 2022.
Yeah, some rough stuff has to be going on to say around the survivors of perimeter create. But I could be talking about action figures that haven't sold yet, you know.
Yeah.
Had to include a Palpatine line there, a lot of great ones, but the height of just absolute hubris. For me, this goes along with Palpatine and Phantom Menace saying, "You could call for a vote of no confidence." I love democracy. I love the Republic. And, you know, it's so great of us as the audience knowing it is. That's opposite. That's lies. And you know that he's just sinking his teeth into it and being like, these fools, they value these ideas, and they value the tremble in my voice of emotion, idiots. Like, it's just so great.
It's that category of all those great Palpatine lines, you know, a surprise. I would take a de-aged E. McDiarmid in a younger Palpatine series just to hear him deliver some of these lines, like Palpatine's rise to power as a senator, like where he's probably, "I respect the vote." Like, there's a lot of things I'd love to hear him say.
"Naboo is my home." I love democracy. I love the Republic. After the first step to the first really solid step to utterly tearing it apart. In contrast to that, a deeper line and one that I got wrong on an early trivia contest, so I will remember forever.
Me too. Oh, God.
It is fun. Queen Jamila. And it could sound like a throwaway line, but then you put it in the context of of Star Wars in the context of Attack of the Clones and the prequel trilogy. Queen Jamila saying, the day we stop believing democracy can work is the day we lose it. I just think that's a, you know, really that reminder that, you know, Star Wars is political, particularly in the prequel era, in this real idea that, yep, democracy is messy. It is imperfect. But we got to keep working at it in order to make it work. Because if we lose it, what is going to fill the void?
Someone who loves democracy and loves the Republic.
Exactly.
Yeah. Other than say, it wasn't in the same match. I know we competed in a couple matches together in that old movie Trivia Schmodown thing. But I lost this too, and I always credit it to Padme. I will never do that again. It's Queen Jamila all the way. But yeah, it just seemed like something Padme would say, because I'm sure she would say this and agree.
Yeah, it was just a who said the quote.
Yeah.
And I think I got it wrong, and then I think you probably had an opportunity to steal it, maybe. Or was it in that game? It doesn't matter.
I just remember, I think of my match with Whitwer years ago, I missed this one and felt just so stupid about it. But
okay.
Because it's a great line. It's a big, important line. And there again, too, just saying, hey, here's Tech Clones and in the prequels. Yeah, a little bit about politics.
Yeah. And I think it's also it's hope versus fear, right? Of democracy is really messy, so it's really easy to give in to fear and just say it's broken, it's too slow, it doesn't work. It's really easy to slip into nihilism and just be like, yeah, democracy is broken, it doesn't work. Like, okay,
yeah.
Well, then what's next? And this is about hope, right? Of like, it's a mess, but we have to keep working at it. That's hope, right?
Absolutely. Good stuff. Good stuff. Some good starts. I'll jump to some of mine here and we'll return to your list. You already highlighted the Yoda line from the scene with the Lost a Planet. That whole sequence, I just do love Yoda saying, truly wonderful the mind of a child is. It's just, again, talked about just some sweet warmth from Yoda there. And I've always loved that line.
Yeah. And I think that great picture, I mean, like being a Jedi does have some things in common with doing improv, right? Of like, J.K. Bertola, the kid who comes up with it, his head isn't filled with a bunch of rigid, but I can't, but I shouldn't. But like, it's a contrast of Jocasta New, right? He's open and flowing because he's young.
Yep. Hey, you always be that little boy met on Coruscant. There you go. love it. Another one for me. And I admit, I sometimes mess up quotes kind of famously if you've watched trivia contests with me, but I in 2021, after living with this quote for almost 20 years as one of my favorite kind of weird little funny lines, I finally brought up the subtitles just to make sure I heard it right. And 20 years later, I didn't need to correct it. But unless I'm wrong, Joseph, I wrote it down. This is one of my favorite lines from Obi-Wan Kenobi. R4, scramble code 5 for Coruscant, care of the old folks home. Just what? Love it. What are you talking about, Kenobi?
I've always really liked this line of that would be the code name for the Jedi Temple, or for the Jedi Council in particular, of the old folks home. It just cracks me up. It says I'm often like resistant, as I've said, to too much of blatant real worldisms.
Yes.
in dialogue of Star Wars, but this is one of those lines that I walked out going like, yeah, no, everybody's gonna be laughing about the sand, but that line was so cool.
Yeah. Now just for years I've loved it. It is absolutely one of those, you know, we all have those moments, even, you know, from a hobby sent two fighters against a Star Destroyer and weird little deliveries and background lines, but this one just always stood out. Scrabble code 5, I get that for Coruscant, I get that, care of the old folks home. All right.
It's just so much more flavorful than, you know, care of the Jedi Council, right?
Yes.
The old folks home.
Yes. Love it. Love it there. Another one I like, and I think this ties into another one of your choices here, so we'll transition back to yours. But Watto, I love Watto. Again, I get some of the problems around the character. Totally do. I'm not going to toss those aside like a piece of paper crumpled up. I get it. But I do love some of the moments with Watto. And when it's finally revealed that Anakin's in front of him and it's Anakin and Anakin's a Jedi, I've always loved a Jedi. What do you know? It's just like, did he got a little fist pump there? It's just, I don't know. It's a funny moment. It's always stood out. And I can't tell you how many times I've just said that to some friends of mine over the last 20 years.
I'm so glad you included this, because that was another moment where, like, I know I want a line from that Watto scene in my honorable mentions, because I believe that Watto scene, the voice, all of the animators working together, Lucas directing. Watto should have been nominated for an Academy Award for Supporting Actor. That scene has so many little details and nuances and just like fun, surprising choices. Yeah, he does that little handshake like, you're hot.
You grew up, you sprouted, you grew up, you're fine.
Like it's so weird. It's so great. Yeah. But the Watto line I pulled out is, hey, maybe you could help with some deadbeats who owe me a lot of money. it's one of those great moments of just elegance of like things clearly didn't go well for Watto. He's got a hat, but that's it.
for anything
that's gone better for him, flies buzzing around, and just as soon as he encounters Anakin and realizes that he's somebody with power, immediately like, oh, hey, can I use your power? Some deadbeats owe me a lot of money. It just cracks me up.
Love that one. I'll finish out my list and we'll close out with your list here too. I like Yoda saying, more happening on Geonosis, I feel, than has been revealed, which is, it's a great line, more Yoda speak, but also kind of like the whole point of everything going on. And you're like, yeah, you're all so close. Pull back that curtain. You're about to figure this out if you can pick it up on it. And I'm not saying all that's in that line, but I've always kind of loved that one there too. It's a well, duh. Yoda.
Yes, much more Yoda. Yeah, it's a good one.
I love Obi-Wan's retort to Anakin about his rescue with the old good job is still one of those sassy Obi-Wan moments I love.
Oh, yeah, that's absolutely great.
Yeah, and then 3PO. There's some bad 3PO stuff in this film that still gets me. A lot of wordplay. Not my favorite thing in the world. Or that galaxy. But I do love to R2 when he says, for a mechanic, you seem to do an excessive amount of thinking. Just, first of all, you know, 3PO, lay off the mechanics there. All right, that's a little harsh. And also just the constant relationship that we know they're going to have the rest of their lives here in Star Wars. I love that it's there in the early days, too. And it's always been a funny little line for me. So there you go.
I really like you picking that out. And it is such a great dynamic in their relationship. Like 3PO is just like, well, you know, no, the people I work for tell me what to do. And then I go do it. And R2, you've got all these ideas.
Yeah.
So proactive about what needs to happen, when and how and who. Oh, geez.
I'm saving the galaxy. Come on. Final. It's a pair of lines. I'll kick it back to you here. It's Anakin and Obi-Wan during the Coruscant chase with Zamwessel. Anakin says, where are you going, master? And Obi-Wan says, for a drink, which just, I can't explain. I've told the story before, but sitting out front of the Pacific Theaters in Northridge, California, before this movie, me and my friend, and we were arguing over having one of those fives, kind of poking him a little bit of saying, you know, the Jedi are actually kind of the bad guys in the galaxy. They're kind of jerks going around getting everyone's business. And I think I said, and there's witnesses around. I don't know where they are. I think Obi-Wan's got a drinking problem. And I'm kind of joking, but kind of also, you know, hey, he seems to know that cantina pretty well. And I don't mean drinking problems are a punchline, but I just was like having fun, joking around with the guy. And we go in, and when Obi-Wan says that, I did the biggest turn in my seat to my friend. It's like, I've been telling you the whole time, and you think I'm crazy. No, Obi-Wan enjoys a good drink. And that's why this will always be on my honorable mention list for Attack of the Clones.
I was so glad that you put this in, because it's trying to make room for everything, and this is one of my favorites. I love the delivery of it. It's so challenging of like, you know, and we just saw how like impressive Anakin is with his jumping and landing on Zamwessel's speeder, and Obi-Wan just got that great like, there are other ways to do things, you know.
Yeah.
Surprise, I'm going for a drink.
Walk down that hill and get a drink, Anakin. Love that there. Those are my honorable mentions. I know you got a couple left. What's on your almost made the list?
The great Dooku line of, I really like, this is just the beginning. Christopher Lee is absolutely a read the phone book actor. If he was just sort of like, yes, call AAA for auto repair, I'd be like, that's one of the best lines in the film. But his glee, it's like, it's a great partner to begun the Clone Wars has. His glee of like, yeah, oh, the chaos is just starting. So I really like that one. Another Obi-Wan line I really needed to get in is during that interrogation scene when Dooku is saying like, "Oh no, oh this is a mistake. I'll get you out of here soon." And Obi-Wan says, "Good, I have work to do." Yeah. Great delivery. And you know, Attack of the Clones, I think one of the reasons I loved it is being such an Obi-Wan guy. This is Obi-Wan on a mission, just like, I'm a Jedi, I do the work.
Yeah,
I got work to do. It's such a great Obi-Wan line. Absolutely love it. Final for me, I just wanted to throw it in here because it is it's the Bantha in the room of Attack of the Clones in some ways.
Yes,
I think is honorable mention to the sand line. Many people remember it as, "I hate sand." The actual line is, "I don't like sand. It's coarse and rough and irritating, and it gets everywhere. Not like here. Here, everything is soft and smooth." This line, you know, it dominated conversations about Attack of the Clones.
Yeah.
And I think there's a lot that I actually like about it. One, he's not wrong.
Someone who grew up a mile from the beach could see it from my house. Wonderful Pismo Beach, California. I hate going on the beach. Yep. It's everywhere.
I walked on the beach. My wife and I went for a short weekend vacation, and you know, she wanted to walk on the beach, and like, I don't have any beach shoes. I have Converse, and I was pulling sand out of my Converse for 2 weeks, and every time I thought of Anakin.
Yeah.
So Anakin is correct. I think for me, the thing about this line that I really like is the romance works for me from the perspective of Anakin being bumbling, you know,
right,
and just not knowing how to express mm-hmm. everything he's feeling. And obviously from the perspective of, yeah, that's a hell of a transition to try to swing the conversation into romance and intimacy. Yeah. You know, it's a not as lines go when people are trying to date one another, gender be damned, pickup yeah. lines in regardless of gender. Yeah. Not yeah. smooth.
That does not work. No.
That line is not soft and smooth to the point of being comedic. Yeah. But it works for me because it is this bumbling, heartsick kid, you know. I think there was a lot of baggage for our generation, at least for myself, going into this of like, oh, romance in Star Wars is Han and Leia. It's, yeah. you know, a scoundrel who's been around the block and, you know, a princess who's just got a sharp wit and a sharp tongue, and romance is banter and we can't keep our hands off each other. And like, that's just not what this is. And it's not what it's trying to be, you know?
Yeah, there's a lot behind the line. I wish I had it saved, but E.K. Johnston, the author of the Padme books and the Great Ahsoka book as well, loves this line. We're talking about how this line is all about what's wrong with their relationship and where they at with their lives. She breaks it down way better than I could, but I think there's some fear versus hope in the way they both look at sand.
Absolutely. You're right. Because Padme is having a happy memory of a peaceful time, right? If we would yeah. lay out on the beach and try to guess the names of the birds singing, I think. And yeah, and he immediately turns that into like, oh, do you have a happy memory of the beach? Here's what's bad about the beach. Your focus determines your reality. Like, yeah. I hate the beach, but I love you. You're nothing like a beach. You know, like you can, it's comedic from a perspective, but you actually can see Anakin's emotions swinging between being focused on what upsets him and reaching out desperately for Padme as salvation.
Yeah. Yeah. And a little bit of seeing Padme as a concept and not a real person, too. Just,
yes. Not yes.
Yeah. Yeah. Absolutely.
You are not a beach.
Yes. Yes. That's our next T-shirt. Padme. And then just quotes, "I am not a beach."
I am not a beach. I am a human. My name is Padme. Anyway, I wanted to talk about it. I understand all the jokes have been made over the years. I do think there are ideas to it. And it's one of the lines that, like, I can really get into the ideas of it, like we just talked about. But it's also one of those lines that, like, sometimes happens with Star Wars. If it's a line that's famously weird or different, that eventually you have a love of it, you know?
Yep, 100%. Yeah, no, sometimes it comes up. Even some shows I'm on, one of our folks has a sound drop of it and they play it in a mocking way. And I'm always kind of like, just try harder. Try harder. Try harder. try hard. great honorable mention list. We could do a show on just the honorable mentions alone, but we're going to get to our number one official selections here. We're like a film festival. Official selections for our number one choices, our favorite lines in Attack of the Clones. I'll go first so Joseph can close the show with his number one, and I am going to one of our favorite characters. We love him because we love to root against him. It is Darth Sidious Sheev Palpatine, the Chancellor. And I love when he says, excellent. Everything is going as planned. This coming towards the end of the film and going to some of the stuff I was talking about with Mace, we're keepers of the peace, not soldiers. Yoda said, victory. We didn't win nothing. We're in a bind now. Rock in a hard place. Jedi in the middle. I love that here is Sidious at the end of this film because we got this wedding. Wow, it's a wedding. We should be celebrating this across the universe love song going on here. But Sidious is just clasping his hands together and going, everything is going exactly as I have foreseen it, which is just the big thing to him. And we know at the end, he just won't be able to see. He's blind to the compassion Luke has for his father and his empathy. And he's also along the way blind to a lot of the choices Padme makes as well. But I just love what this represents. If this movie starts with, we should not form an army, we should not start a war, we are keepers of the peace, we're not soldiers in the Republic, we're going to try to fight for democracy and save it, it is all gone because this dark, cloaked space wizard has everything going according to his plan. I love the line, love to root against him, but I love what it means.
Yeah, no, it is so great. I got the dominoes lined up. Like, you know, I've been building this for a while, but wow, look at this. The galaxy is full of fear. I got them fighting each other. I got the Jedi abandoning their ideals. Yeah, Anakin, oh man, he lost his mom. I'm not saying that Sheev did that directly, but like he's lost his mom, so he's got all sorts of rage and pain. He took the first step there. Now he's got that attachment to Padme, and that will be how I can reel him in. This is great. You know, got a little bit of an extra kick from getting the boost up to my new power from that idiot Gungan. Everything's coming up, Sheev.
Everything's coming up, Sheev and Milhouse, and I love it. Yes.
Yeah, great pick.
Again, we love to root against him, but Star Wars would not be Star Wars without Ian McDiarmid roaming around as the Emperor. That is my number one choice. But we're up to your number one choice, sir. Drum roll, please. What do we got?
My number one was very hard to decide because there are a bunch of lines that are meaningful to me. There are a bunch of lines that are fun. I feel like we've talked about a lot of them. I knew what scene I probably wanted it to come from, and it is another scene that we should have a longer conversation about someday. It's got some controversial things in it that I think really draw the focus, people's focus to. It is the scene where Anakin and Padme are talking in the Lars Homestead garage, Anakin admitting that he slaughtered the Tusken Raiders. And there are a bunch of lines that I think are really important in there, but I gravitated toward this one. This is my number one line from Attack of the Clones, is from Padme saying, sometimes there are things no one can fix. This is a film where Padme is again and again, from small details to big plot machinations, to emotional truths, just right. She's the moral compass of Star Wars in this era of the, if she could have managed to, have things, you know, happen in the direction that she has wisdom, right?
Yeah.
She sees that, it makes a lot of sense that Dooku would be behind this. Starting a war is not going to help anything. It's just going to make things worse. There's a deleted scene going around of her impassioned speech to the senators, which makes things even more clear on that. But then there's these intimate scenes with Anakin where she has great insights. And this whole scene is so important. Anakin talking about how things are easier when he can fix them. He's always been good at fixing things. Not being willing to accept this key idea of like, yeah, of course, losing a mother is horrible. Being away from her, losing her that way is horrible. It's totally understandable that Anakin would be confused and in rage. And Padme's got the great line a little bit later, to be angry is to be human. But this is the key thing to me for Anakin. And its key to the Jedi, and it's something that Padme understands of, you know, there are some things that no one can fix. There are some things that are natural, like death, that are sad and horrible, but we can't act on them. We can't, like, rage about them because we will only make matters worse, right? Yeah. And just really getting to the heart of that philosophy of there are things that are out of our individual control. There are things that are out of our galactic control. There are things that are sad, but they're natural, which for me is powerful because it means, like, well, the things that are under our control, then we should be really, really mindful of. And it's a dangerous path to try to control everything. And it's just such a telling line because it's Padme, much like Shmi did in the first film. Mm-hmm. It's Padme saying things to Anakin that if he could really hear and internalize would have helped him, right? Because mm-hmm. this is Padme predicting the horror of the end of their relationship. If Anakin decides, no, there's nothing I can't become powerful enough to fix. There's nothing I can't become powerful enough to control. And just the bittersweet tragedy that Padme understands that's not the path and is trying to express it to him here.
Yeah, I mean, there's not much I could add to that other than I love that there's just tragedy laced through that scene. And yes, there's a lot to discuss in that scene, but of what Padme's seen and what you said, if Anakin just can't hear that, this is he's like a star. He's like me in 2002 watching this movie. He's stuck on the surface and can't look at the depth. And I love also that what you're saying, you get episode one, you get Shmi giving him these life lessons that if you could just hold on to, things would be okay. You got Padme showing this just kind of steady love. And maybe you can question that in this scene. Maybe she should have turned away and walked away from the scene, but she still sees that young boy. She still sees the good in him. She believes in it to the bitter, horrible, tragic end. And this line, especially in conjunction with him, just literally said, I'm a mechanic. I fix things. I'm so good at that. And life is easier. And you've talked a lot about the importance of what that means for this character. And here you got Padme on the side saying this. And then if you're talking about Attack of the Clones, it's a movie that's part of this modern myth, a fable for all of us, so many generations, a 12-year-old in all of us. Here's George kind of saying, you just got to let go of some of this. You got to let go. You got to let go of these attachments and move forward in a different way. And anger and fear and hate and suffering ain't the way, kids. It ain't the way.
Yeah. Yeah. Final thing for me, I think it's all incredibly well said, Ken. I think there's this rigidity in Anakin, and we see it even in fun ways in the Clone Wars, right? Where he's just like, right or left, those are the options. And Obi-Wan is often like, no, there's another way. And eventually Ahsoka really gets to that point. I'm like, no, it's not so rigid. It's not so binary. And I feel like this is really a part of that too, accept that things are complex and sometimes a thing is going to break and you can't just fix it. You know, life isn't that simple. And I think that's a powerful lesson for Anakin and just a great line from Padme.
Great line indeed. A lot of great lines from Padme. A lot of wisdom from Padme. Hey, everybody, listen to Padme. It's going to be a theme we always touch upon here on Force Center. Joseph, great list. Love discussing the prequels of the year. It's one of our favorite things to do around the Force Center walls here. So just a lot of fun, great list. And we know out there, you all probably have some choices or want to add on to our conversation here. You can do so by following us on Twitter. We are at Force Center Pod. Use hashtag Star Wars Ranked. We're on Instagram and YouTube as well. I'm actually going to get to taking some of these episodes and rebroadcasting them again on YouTube. Workflow got a little way for me lately, but don't worry, we're going to do that. And then we are also on Facebook at Force Center Podcast. You can get merch at tpublic.com/user/Force Center. Try an audiobook on us by going to audibletrial.com/Force Center. And you can also find us on a lot of spots, including Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, Stitcher, TuneIn, Amazon Music, and Spotify. And also, don't forget, if you so choose, you can support us directly at patreon.com/ForceCenter. You can follow me at Catnapsock or go to my website, catnapsock.com. Got upcoming comedy shows, including some big dates in December in Washington, D.C. Joseph, where can they go to follow you, sir?
Yeah, you can find me Twitter, Instagram, TikTok as @JosephScrimshaw, and you can check out my website, josephscrimshaw.com, for all sorts of other stuff, comedy albums, links to shows I've written for, my other podcast, Obsessed, all sorts of stuff, all on josephscrimshaw.com.
Websites, they're the new thing. It's also old. Check it all out. Thank you, everybody. That's it for this week. Star Wars has been ranked.
Whether you're a morning person or a bedtime procrastinator, everyone deserves a mattress that works for their style. And you'll find the best mattress for you at Ashley. The new Tempur-Adapt collection at Ashley brings you one-of-a-kind body-conforming technology, making every sleep tailored to be your best. The collection also features cool-to-the-touch covers and motion absorption to help minimize sleep disruptions from partners, pets, or kids. Shop the all-new Tempur-Adapt collection at Ashley in-store or online at ashley.com. Ashley. For the love of home.